to anybody yet. I haven't even looked at one yet. I thought we'd talk first. Hello.
Hello.
Good evening. The tax conference committee, I'm going to call it to order for Monday, May 12th. 13th. So I thought we could maybe just talk a little bit. We have a week, and we have targets. And we don't really have a week. So,
Friday
so
midnight, I heard.
Mr. Chair, yes. So what do you think our deadline is?
I heard Friday at midnight.
I heard Friday at midnight, too.
And I hear that the K-12 committee and our committee have a time interaction requiring a 36-hour gap between their passage and our passage.
What?
Because of the education stuff. And so we're kind of going to be dependent on what the K-12 committee does. But they're supposed to be wrapping up by Wednesday.
And what's the 36 hours about?
It takes staff that long to do the interactions between their bill and our bill.
Well, you're assuming there will be some.
Well, it is an assumption.
I think there will be two. You know, I will just say I was hoping, Mr. Chair, that we could shoot for kind of being done Thursday at midnight, mostly. So that Friday can be the day that the Senate Council and House Research and everybody who's interested can really look at things and find all the mistakes, and we can clean it up.
Okay.
So how does that sound to the Senate?
Well, I think we've made pretty good progress this past week, and you know, if we put our best, most agreeable hats on, we'll get the work done, and Thursday would be good.
Okay. Okay, so all I have tonight, if that works for people, is I asked our staff to put together a list of some possible ones we could bring up, and I haven't even looked at it. And I was hoping, due to the fact that a lot of us just need to start working on provisions and other commitments, I am actually not planning on meeting more than an hour. Okay, so if that works for everyone, we'd meet about an hour and be done for the night. I think it's worth also a little more conversation, and I know not every conferee is here, so are there some items that we can assign to some people that, you know, that's left in the small list? I think we just, when we look at, if we have to get Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday really are the big 3 days to get it done, we need to get some of the smaller stuff out of the way.
Yes.
So are there conferees or, you know, suggestions, people who we know, groups of people are working on some smaller provisions that we could assign to go finish them and then bring them back to us? Do you have any ideas there, Senator Scoy or Senator Rest or Senator Dietzick?
Well, Madam Chair, I think it's likely that we could, you know, depending upon the issue. I know Senator Dietzick has been working on all of our cigarettes, little cigar stuff, so she would obviously be the person to work on that. I don't know, Corporate Senator Rest has been working on that. So, you know, if you have a conferee that you'd like to work with or if you'd like to work with them, I think that we can, you know, make some progress on those areas.
Okay.
Are you thinking smaller provisions?
Yeah, I mean, anything anyone can think of that we need to do. I mean, obviously we need to get Mayo done.
Yep.
So that's one, but that one's getting pretty close. Once the Senate completely accepts Representative Norton's work, we'll be good on that. So,
and when her work includes all of our good efforts, we will be doing that.
We're actually pretty close on that one, aren't we? So, you know, I will say Representative Anzels has a couple items that I don't know if he has language yet, a few small things, and you know, similarly, often conferees have small things that the rest of us don't know about and aren't thinking about, and now is the time for people to bring those forward so everyone can see the language.
Yeah.
So one that pops to mind that I think needs to get out there for the Senate and for the governor's office and for developments across the state is labor peace. I think language there needs to be public. I mean, more of these things need to get public so that we can get feedback. I think it's fair to say the 10 conferees aren't really in the mode to say, now that it's public, you've convinced us, we've changed our mind. I mean, that's really not the goal here. It's to start working through the mechanics of legislation that we think is going to take place. So any you can does anything else come to mind that people are working on? I mean, I'm blanking, honestly. I can't think of many.
And Madam Chair, I have a couple. I know Representative Davney and I should visit a little bit about some of the assessor training stuff. I've got ongoing thoughts that I'd like to do something with regard to the easement, conservation easement language, to see if there's something we could get up there. I know I have an amendment here dealing with multiple points of use that we adopted some language, but we didn't finalize that. And so there are things to work on.
There should be a few extras for Senate Council for this list, and Mr. Michael has one on our side.
You know,
and the commissioner needs one over there.
And Madam Chair, did we cover the estate tax thoroughly?
We did.
Another evening, so
we did, and we're ready for your motion to take all three of our provisions.
Okay. Well, we'll contemplate that.
Okay. you know, I do think, I personally think this isn't going to be as hard as people think it is. So we have a target. We've got a lot of agreements around pieces, property taxes, and buckets that will be cut up, and the surcharge, and the fourth tier at $250,000. So I think some things are, that helps a lot. We have a lot of structure around where we're going. But it always seems to me that we get stuck on little tiny things that mechanically are just problematic. So I know people risk things by putting their stuff out there, but it actually really helps all of us, I think, to see things.
No, Madam Chair.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Being is that I'm looking at this list, and I see one that I think we can just take off the list because I don't think we're going to move forward on it this year, is the I think that the modification of ag homestead requirements will take some time to gel, and I've talked to the farm groups. They're going to take that issue to their annual meetings and run it by all their members, and you know we'll be here next year, and maybe we can have some more discussion about that. So let's just X that off the list.
Okay. And I think looking, just glancing on this list, and I hadn't seen it before either, I think some of this stuff is still pretty complicated, and we're not agreeing on it. But if things jump out, I think since we're going to be here one more hour, we can move some of these. But, I was trying to think of, do any of these trigger in people's minds other things that we could be working out? Senator Rust?
The study language.
I don't see it. I'm waiting for your input. I thought we got that.
Mr. Cummings, did we act on the biofuels assessment moratorium and study language? No, here it comes. Well, that's one we can do right there. So why don't we do that? Does anyone, while we're getting that from Mr. Cummings, does anyone see other ones that are... we should go to next. You know, I here's one that I should mention, the pollution control personal property tax exemption. I think that's the one that Saturday or Friday night I was asked to wait until Representative Ann Zeltz was here because of Cohasset. Is that in Representative Ann Zeltz district? I don't even know. Somebody mentioned that one to me.
That would be, I think that would be Cohasset.
Okay, and then on the Minneapolis contracting language for Target, I thought we did that one. So,
yes. With regard to the
okay.
Contractor
risk
liability. Their liability,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
And obviously, I mean, I think it's fair to say, and I'd love to hear Senate conferees and all House conferees' input. I think it's fair to say that if things cost money, the likelihood of them passing has gotten a lot smaller. Chair Skoy, do you agree with that?
I
think if
I
things cost money, the likelihood of them passing has gotten a lot smaller.
Because
we have to raise a lot of revenue now, and the spending often gets, it makes us go the wrong way. So, if people can get creative on but things cost, that helps too, mm-hmm. Senator Skoy.
Well, to that point, perhaps we could adopt a corporate franchise taxing minimum fee increase in indexing. It's on the list on page 2, the second one down.
That'd be another one, yes.
Well, actually, we can either do them, but the House and the Senate are...
Yeah.
all the provisions with regard to wage and corporate taxes, except for the...
Royalty. Foreign royalty.
The foreign royalties, and we have different treatments of other instances, of other items in this area. I don't know, I think I'd rather wait to have a single motion on corporate, if you don't mind.
I think, right. I think getting, I'm fine with that, except for I think the more language we can get to House Research and Senate Council is going to make that Thursday night a lot smoother. And then Friday, if we can all be looking through for changes and deletions and things we didn't mean to do and things we should have done. Another one, Representative Dabney mentioned, has one to mention here that maybe we could do. So Dabney, the...
Madam Chair, thank you. The motor vehicle repair paint provision, it's on page 2 of this. I believe the language in both bills is similar. We held off on doing this, if I remember correctly, on Friday because it raised money. And I don't know if now post-agreement we want to move forward on that. This would be the third or fourth time it's been in the tax bill.
Thoughts on that one?
No, that would be fine.
Okay. Does anyone else see anything on the list? I actually think the little cigars is one that needs to be worked on and we can't do tonight. See anybody see anything else?
Well, Madam Chair.
Maybe we should just start working on some of these.
I have one more that I would.
Chair Skoy.
Madam Chair, I think that the Senate might be willing to take the E-911 stuff off the table, but I'd like to hear from the department before I did that.
Senator Skoy, I am completely and utterly confused about this provision because it's in another committee in the House as well. And, you know, some of that is dedicated to something, and, you know, I don't know if the minimum that's needed there is covered in another committee or, you know, I don't know from the House conference perspective what we want to do there. I know Senate Representative Anzels cares a lot about armor and the sales tax exemption for some of those radio systems. And I can't remember if it was your bill or our bill that ties some of this funding from the E-911 to paying for that. And I can't even recall. So maybe we do need a little tutorial from the staff. Chair Skoy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And the first thing is if the provision to exempt cities and counties from sales tax becomes law, the point becomes moot on
right.
The armor. So then we're just talking about the E-911 fund.
Right.
And I wonder if the commissioner
yes.
or somebody doesn't have some thoughts on this provision.
Yes, please. Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Senator Skoy, I think at this point there are several concerns with the language right now. The Department of Public Safety has some concerns about the allocation of the monies. I know, and the Department of Revenue has some concerns about the payments that have been made over time with respect to this. So we're concerned about going forward without some of these issues being resolved. So it's still some open issues as far as we're concerned.
Representative Anzels, do you have thoughts on any of this 911 funding? You didn't carry that. You carried a sales tax exemption for, was it the 800 megahertz provision? And armor? And
yes, Madam Chair. And mine contained a retroactive provision which ended up not being very warmly embraced by the committee.
Right. Mr. Chair, thoughts?
Well, I think that we're covering the sales tax exemption if we're successful.
We do that.
So that wouldn't be necessary. But I just wanted to be clear on the commissioner. I heard you say that you had concerns, but do you want us to contemplate moving forward with any of this? Or what? I'm not clear I understood exactly what your position is on the 911 fees.
Madam Chair, Senator Skoy, I guess I'm not exactly sure what provision you're talking about now with respect to if there is a sales tax issue with respect to cities and counties, what portion of this you're you're talking about right now.
Well, Madam Chair and Commissioner, I think the Senate has a provision that takes prepaid cell phone cards or something and applies an E911 fee to those prepaid cell cards. And I've heard that there was a concern from the department about us moving forward on that prepaid cell card area.
Madam Chair, Senator Score, yes, there is a concern by the department, both on administrative issues about the collection of the fees and as well the Department of Public Safety's concerns about the allocation of the money. So there's really two different levels of concern we have at this time on moving on the 911 fees.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know, one thought on, I should just say again, you know, we haven't really, I haven't talked to any of the Senate conferees or the House conferees really since the targets came out to think through how we might proceed. So I think we all have strong feelings, but, you know, the House really didn't do any sales tax reform. In fact, we do on net in our sales tax article, we're doing tax cuts. We're losing $94 million, I believe, in revenue for the total article. And then the Senate is doing a lot of reform coupled with a rate reduction. And so now we're talking about this local government issue. And I don't know if everybody here how they feel about that. But what I would say is it occurred to me, and I did talk to Ms. Dalton this morning, and hopefully Senate counsel can work with her. I think if we're going to go down that road to do it in a thoughtful way, we need some distributional impact so that Representative Dabney and maybe someone on your side could work on that, because that reduction of a sales tax, having the local units of government not pay the sales tax, is not going to distribute the same way LGA would, say, for example. So I think it would be helpful to have House and Senate counsel come up with some sort of distributional run for us to think about how we would create that if we were, in fact, going to do it. And I don't know that, you know, what people think about that, but it's hard to get my head around it without seeing how it would flow across the state. Mr. Chair?
Well, I think that we'll probably have some further discussion about what's in the overall target agreement and what isn't. But I think from the Senate side, we think that this provision is in the overall agreement.
Okay. And Senator Scott.
And then we're working on a revised sales tax article with that with that in mind, with the parameters that have been given to us by the governor. So you'll be seeing that fairly soon.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Commissioner, please.
Madam Chair, I do want to alert the conference the difficulty in modeling some of this distributional data on the sales tax exemption for cities and counties. That's the information we don't really have available very readily, and it varies so much from year to year depending upon what the city or county is doing. So just there's a challenge with the data. We'll do the best that we can, but it's tough to kind of model.
Commissioner, have you ever gone down to the little cave in the bottom of the Capitol somewhere that I think you have to be blindfolded to be taken there, where the micro data group works? Mr. Ouellette is smiling. I don't really know where. I've been there a couple of times, and I don't think I could find my way there, but that's the group of people who can figure out how to do that, the House and Senate and revenue staff who can come to some understanding of how we could figure that out. That's why I'm concerned that if we're doing that, and it sounds like the Senate conferees believe we are doing it, and the House isn't quite so sure, so we'll need to have a conversation. But if we're doing it, we need to get going on that, because that will have huge impacts across the state.
We've been doing a lot of work on that in the last 2 days.
Okay. How did you know the deal 2 days ago? I didn't.
Just knew it was such a good provision that you
would take it. It's just going to be there, that the governor was just going to finally like something we did in the sales tax area.
You know, and I think another thing in that same area is what sales tax is on the table to pay for that. We understand there's no final consumption sales taxes there, and that's a bit of a problem, Commissioner, and maybe
except
you can.
Amazon.
Well, except for Amazon, affiliate nexus. But I would say, you know, Commissioner, speaking for myself, would like some information back on, let's take the provision on warehousing. I think the Department of Revenue's analysis is 81% of it is B2B and 19% of it is final consumption. And how in the world, I guess you'd have to apply credits to all kinds of folks to make that work. Or is the agreement that that whole 100% of that provision is in play? And I think we need to know that.
We're working on that.
Well, I think we need to have the governor tell us what he thinks that means.
That's what I mean. We're working on that with the governor.
Well, Commissioner?
Madam Chair and Senator Rest, there is some area of clarification we need, because there are a lot of issues, and a lot of different sales tax issues on business items that are joint business and individual. They end up being paid by an individual consumer. And as you mentioned, the governor is concerned about extending sales taxes to consumers. So those are issues we do have to sort out. We haven't quite figured that out.
So
totally.
Commissioner and Senator Scoy, Senator Russ, and Senate Conferees, I guess I would request that if people are working on this, which I did not know, that the House is included in those meetings. And specifically, I'd like Ms. Dalton there, if possible.
You know, we haven't been working on any meetings, so I'm just saying this
well,
is still an issue that we have to sort out.
Senator Scoy.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Rest and I and Ms. McQuay have been working on it, and we did email a list of what we thought would have been in the sales tax article to Commissioner Franz sometime this afternoon. That's all.
And I guess I think what I'm saying is, in a sense of collaboration, I think it's just better to have everybody just work on it together. Ms. Dalton put together a list this morning as well, what she thinks qualifies within the Senate tax article to meet the requirement of what we understand. But, could have three sets of lists.
She should send that to me.
Yeah. You know, I just think that there's, unless you have a problem with this, I think there's a lot of value in letting a bunch of non-legislators try to look at these things together and make a recommendation to it. And we can ignore it. But I think if they would get that going, it would be just helpful.
Really glad you put that option on the table, Madam Chair.
No legislators?
No, the other one.
Oh.
Just ignore it.
because if we just waste a lot of time fighting over the definition of some provision, I think it's just we've got really three big days with a vote on Friday to close the bill. We have to be voted out of here Friday. So, is there other things people can think of that's helpful for going forward? Maybe more understanding of what we think the deal was. Senator Rest.
I and Senate Council believe that we adopted the Minneapolis contracting language for Target Center, which is still on the list here, but we all have it marked off as having been adopted.
Madam Chair.
Senator Representative Dabney.
Folks in the audience are nodding yes.
Construction manager at risk language.
I
we adopted that.
It, that.
Yeah, we did
fits
that.
With my recollection
so
as
that
well.
Can come off of there.
We're just cooking here.
With the 838 amendment.
Yes.
Is there other sets of, I guess, another kind of big picture piece I was thinking would be helpful for the microdata group or a group of revenue, House and Senate Council is thinking through, set aside now this local sales tax exemption as it relates to B2B sales taxes and just folding
local governments, folding
that into school items, school property tax relief, individual homeowner property tax relief, renter's credit, CPA, LGA, trying to get that all so we understand the distribution of all those impacts as well. Because you could be working in isolation on school levies. I just think there's got to be some coordination here between all the pieces. And I don't know how you're thinking about that, Senator Scoy. I just think we'd do better if we put a lot of staff on this tomorrow.
Well, Madam Chair, I think that we need to have a conversation and get ourselves so we're clear with what the leadership agreement is.
Agree.
And then we will have an opportunity to start figuring out that balance. But, of course, it's good to understand how these things are going to distribute across the state. They are separate. The sales tax for cities and counties is separate from LGA and county programming aid and distributes differently.
Right.
And, of course, the school component that is in the Senate bill is another separate component, even more so because it's related more to schools than it is to cities and counties. But you know, we can, if there's staff that have the time and the capabilities to get a feel for how those things, you know, interact, that would be fine.
Well, Mr. Chair, I do think the staff is best suited to do this, at least to take a shot. And the concern I would have is if all of the items we're looking at disproportionately benefit one part of the state, you know, we could adjust Representative Dabney's work on the property tax refund if we found out that everything else was, you know, I mean, I just think there's value in understanding and not having happen after we pass the bill and sign it along, we later learn where did all that property tax relief go. Because I think all 10 of us want property tax relief for across the state.
Sure.
And I just, you know, I just have a concern about how all those things might interact. Senator Skoy.
Sure. And Madam Chair, with regard to the LGA formula, and I don't think it's an issue with the county program aid because everybody thinks that one's working pretty well, even though some of the rural counties have fallen off the formula in one of the areas, and my blanking on which one of the formula provisions it is. But the LGA then really would have to take into account, if we do nothing, we have the old formula and the changes in the new formula, which is a, you know, it's a shift from, I don't know what the numbers are, if I can just make something up, say 68 or 63 rural or whatever it is in 40, right. You know, you understand
right.
that there's
right.
a shift going on there where,
right.
you know, the suburban communities are actually picking up
right.
a pretty good percentage. And so the difference would have to be brought into play as opposed to just a straight distribution of what the new formula is.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
So just thinking about that, okay, so are there other, are you able to tell us, Senator Skoy, and maybe you don't want to at this time, but are you able to tell us what you're thinking is, what's going on in education as it relates to your interests in the education area and what you think in general, not with, you know, a lot of clarity, but where are you looking for the school property tax relief component? Because we've had kind of conflicting messages, if it's what you proposed or what's over in the K-12 bill in the Senate. So we're just trying to understand it a little bit.
It's been kind of a session-long trip for
yes.
me with regard to this, but it looks to me like, and I hesitate to speak for the E-12 committee because I know they're still advocating for the Senate levy buy-down and conference committee, but I think that we'll have success in the tax committee, and I don't know how successful they're going to be. And but they will be wrapped up by the time we are, so we will know that by the Friday that we're acting on this stuff.
Okay. Does Commissioner, do you or your staff or do any of the conferees or any of the Senate, Council, or House research have a question about kind of the big picture here now before we do some of these little provisions and then quit for the night? Is there anything that helps lend clarity to where things are going?
Well,
Representative Benson, please.
Madam Chair, I don't know, maybe not this moment, but there seems to be not a clear understanding of exactly what was decided by the governor, majority leader of the Senate, and the Speaker of the House as to what the parameters of that agreement was. All I've read, as Will Rogers one time said, all I know is what I read in the papers. So it might be useful.
Yeah, there's a document out that has all the targets and
yeah.
and it lists out the 400 million, you know, and it lists out the LGA and the CPA and the township and the renter's credit and then subtracts that out of the 400 million and it comes up with a number that technically the tax committee has to do other things with.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that document is around somewhere.
Well, we don't have that.
No.
So if you can share that, we'd love to see it, or if the commissioner has it. We saw one piece of paper that actually had two errors on it, so we're hoping that's not the piece of paper. In fact, it had the wrong years for the surtax, so that we're hoping that's not right. In fact, we know it's not right because the agreed-on years were 13 and 14, and the piece of paper says 14 and 15, and then it also mentioned an agreement on the capital equipment refund, which my understanding is there's no agreement on that either. So that was on the sheet we saw. So we're assuming that's not right. So is that what you saw on your sheet?
The sheet that I saw, I think, was pretty close to accurate for what I could tell. There was one omission from it that I caught and went and talked to the majority
leader. We'll see.
Leader.
There you go. We can't leave it up to Senator Bach and Representative Thiessen and Governor Dayton. You've already caught errors. I'm teasing. But I do think we need to get the fundamental place we're starting from, because what we got on the sheet we saw had the wrong years for the surtax and another business tax cut that was I don't have the understanding that anyone agreed to that. So I don't know if you have a comment on that.
My understanding was that the capital equipment exemption from sales tax was included in the sales tax component
it's
of the agreement.
The timing is an issue.
So the speaker talked to him about that today, and he doesn't agree with that. So that's why I think we need to get the sheet in front of us.
We need to talk about it.
Do you think the surtax years payback are what years?
That is a House provision that we really didn't pay much attention to, did we, Senator?
Yeah, Commissioner. It says 13 and 14 in two places, and then it says 14 and 15 in two places, and it's just 13 and 14. So I think, you know, those are fundamental differences that we need to get right. So, and we weren't so sure that the sales tax reform with B2B for local governments was 100% certain, but I can tell you all feel strongly that it was. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, that's something we need to get corrected by first thing in the morning,
sure,
so that we can go forward.
Yeah.
Okay, is there anything else? No, I think that's. I appreciate you being willing to just talk about it openly and transparently and on the record, because, you know, we just want to start from the right place, and I think it's better than trying to do these things behind closed doors that we just talk about them and so people can tell us what they think.
Yeah, well, and Madam Chair, from recollection, and, you know, as you know, this isn't always the best place for me to be talking from, but, you know, I mean, we're at $22 billion, $50 million. We've got $627 a deficit to subtract off of that. I think there was $1.023 billion of targets to subtract off of that. Leaves about $400 million, and we subtract our LGA county program aid, renter's credit, and a little bit of township off of that. Leaves just under $260 million, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, there was discussion about whether the House would take half and the Senate would take half.
Right.
Senator Rest and I have talked, and I think we are in agreement that if we can do a mutual, way to, use that money that would benefit the House and the Senate might be a better way to go than just taking half and dividing it up. You know, we never thought that was particularly effective, but if people think that's the best way to go, we could be contemplating that also.
Okay,
but I think the overall scheme of the numbers
we kind of heard it the other way, that it's kind of 130 and 130, but, I mean, we're open to a better product that comes with 260. That's well thought out. But I would say that the way I heard it, read it on the one sheet that I think has errors, and read it on the joint press release, is that the $400 million is in property tax relief, not other things.
Well, I had a specific conversation with Senator Bach on that. And he said he viewed it as tax committee spend.
Well, the press release that they all passed out didn't say that.
We don't deal with press releases.
Well, so, I mean, these are the kind of questions that we need to figure out. Senator Rest.
Madam Chair, in the discussion of having a mutually agreeable proposal, what I recalled was when we had divided back in whenever it was, 2002 or whatever, and it was like a third. I thought that was an absolute disaster. It did not show any kind, in my mind at least, acknowledgement of the interaction between who was either raising or spending money. And it was only right at the end, you're doing that? Oh, well, here's what we're doing. But I think that maybe we can't get there.
Maybe
that principle has been established over the last decade that it's just, you know, you get yours, we get ours, and the government gets his, and then you just cross your fingers and hope for the best. But The other way is certainly compromising. It's more, to my mind, more forward looking. It stops one of the three parties from doing things that weaken our economy. And
in this instance,
too. But it's the same principle. But maybe we can't. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I would hope that we could give that a stab, at least.
And I agree with that completely. And I can't speak for everyone else here, but you know that was Swigum, Ventura, and Mull, as I recall it. So you had kind of third. But now, you know, I think that Speaker Thiessen and Governor Dayton and Senate Majority Leader Bach have led the way. Mm-hmm. And they are working together. It's obvious to all. They've got us the targets in a timely fashion, and we're going to be done on May 20th with all the bills, and we're going to be adjourned on time, having balanced the budget and getting rid of the deficit and other things. So I think that's good, and I think that would be great, too. I will just tell you that, you know, my interest would be, if anything, to spend as little as possible, mm-hmm. and any extra money that can be found, we don't have to spend it.
That's right.
We could actually just raise less revenue.
Go on the bottom line.
Yes. I think we sound like we're kind of in, you know, we know there's some things that have to get done. But I think that's a good point, and I don't think any of us would disagree with that. You know, if we can all get to the same place together, that's great. I do think it helps us, though, to understand, because did anybody watch the press conference with the governor and Senator Bach and Representative Thiessen? I watched it. They put it on the Senate website today. It's 21 minutes, and it was very chummy. I think it sounded really good, and everybody's getting along, and you know, we just have to finish it off now, and we would hate to get stuck, you know, and I'm committed to not getting stuck, and I'm sure everybody else is too. Senator Scoy.
And Madam Chair, it was portrayed to us that it was the half and half, but we just thought that, being that we work so well together, I mean, really, mm-hmm. maybe we should take a stab at trying to do something a little more comprehensive and collaborative. So if we can't, we can't.
Right. You know. Other thoughts, Commissioner? What do you think? Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it?
Madam Chair, no. Actually, it is as good as it sounds. I mean, I think that was the beauty of the majority leader and the speaker and the governor spending that kind of time together and hashing out these issues. They had some really great discussions, and I think through that have come up with a package that both the Senate conferees and the House conferees can work with. But there are some, you know, loose ends that they really want this conference committee to settle and resolve. And so I think it's a combination of their ideals and goals and yet confidence in this conference committee to fine-tune that in a way that makes work. And I think you're right that the idea of the target was such that if you don't need to spend the money if you don't want to, that this conference committee might decide to come up with ways to not spend as much money. So there's a lot of confidence by all three leaders in this conference committee to resolve those issues. So I was very pleased to be a part of that and see how that all came together, and I think we can clarify some more of that as we go through. We're going to need to clarify some more of it, I think, right, as we go through. But I think the tenor of it all was really very positive and supportive of this conference committee.
I guess I really want to emphasize, before we do a few provisions and finish, is I know people like to guard their language as long as possible, and we are at that day. And, you know, obviously, Senator Scoy, it's your decision, but I would ask everybody out there, legislators and cities and communities and lobbyists and people pushing projects, if you have language, we'd like to see it. Keeping it from us will only hurt you at this point. It will not help you, because if we don't have time to work it through, it's definitely not going to happen. And just on the House side, you know, if you could get it, everybody email your stuff to Joel Michael. That's the best way from the House side, so it can be disseminated to folks. Is there someone from the Senate that you would prefer, that if there is language people have that you would like it emailed to, so it can be disseminated to your Senate conferees and staff, or to you yourself, or who would you like?
My initial reaction is the committee administrator O'Rourke.
Okay.
And he will disseminate it to who it should go to.
Okay, so Mr. O'Rourke in the Senate, Mr. Michael in the House. Commissioner, who would you like to get emails from? To you, or where would you like them to go?
Madam Chair, I don't think I better answer that question. I think actually, I think Paul Cummings would be the best place to paul.cummings@state.mn.us would be the best
okay.
place to
so
collect
people could,
all those.
Could do that. You know, we'll keep it confidential within, you know, all the staff, but people need to now start seeing people's ideas, and I'm sure individual conferees have items as well. Senator Skoy?
Well, Madam Chair, and now I know that you did watch some of the Senate Tax Committee meetings. I think you did that. But when it got time to where we were putting our bill together, we kind of drew a line and said, look, if you're not in here by Thursday, you're too late. And so we put the bill out on Monday, and stuff that didn't get there by then just wasn't in the bill. And
what,
I think
what line would you like?
Well, you want to start with tomorrow evening?
Sounds good to me. I mean, we can see if we have some real problems that we have to go to Wednesday, but does that sound like for everybody to get your language to these three people we've named by tomorrow at midnight,
yeah.
let's say? Does that work?
That works fine for me.
Okay.
Well,
that way.
Go for the department, too?
Yeah, department. We want to hear what you're up, what we need, too. Okay.
Well, and Madam Chair, I mean, you know, we've got the list from Mr. Michael here that, you know, we do have these provisions.
Yep.
And, you know, I think we should all of us look through the side-by-sides and make sure we're not missing something that's of importance to the conferees. But, you know, we're getting it whittled down pretty well, I believe.
Yeah. One last thing is, do we want to have an attempt, and it might be too early. Maybe we need to have a few meetings, but an attempt to get a joint spreadsheet going? As we realize these things have to be in, they start going in and building toward the target, or do, you know, with the House and Senate.
Should we put Ms. McQuay and
Ms. Templin and
Ms. Schill
take a shot at it?
Ms. Schill to take a shot at it?
Yeah, I think that would be great. We can just keep that, you know, confidential for now, but I think there's some things to just start ironing out to make sure that we're okay. Okay, is there anything else? Thank you so much, Mr. Chair, and all conferees and Commissioner. So any provisions we can do for the next 25 minutes? Who would like to move something?
How about this?
How about the biofuel thing?
Oh, biofuels, right. Senator Rest. Do you have?
Mr. Cummings needs to explain it.
Mr. Cummings, thank you so much for getting us the language. If you want to tell us what we're doing here, biofuels assessment moratorium and study language. Mr. Cummings.
Madam Chair, members of the Conference Committee, earlier this session, Representative Falk and Senator Coonan put in language to try and look at some of the assessments that were going on within biofuel facilities across the state. There were a couple of meetings that were initiated between the industry, legislators, the Department of Revenue, assessors, and others that came together to try and address that question to see if that could be done this session. We had requested that we'd like to take a little bit more time to look at its form and function and use within these biofuel facilities. So in the two bills that came before the conference committee, you'll find that the languages for the studies and the moratoriums were actually very different. So within the last week, the Department of Revenue, in consultation, really in collaboration with the assessors as well as the industry folks, have brought forward with this study. We believe that this study will offer you the type of information you will need in order to try and assess the different types of issues that you'll need to make the decisions as you'll wrestle with these issues in terms of function and use and other issues dealing with biofuel facilities and related industries next session. The issue that I think brought the most discord among the people that were brought together was a moratorium. And so, and I think that's why this is maybe not a consensus agreement, but it is an agreement. So we bring this forward in good faith and hope that the conference committee will adopt it.
Okay. Senator Coonan, did you want to?
Madam Chair, I'd like to move the A-131 amendment.
Okay, and do we know, so do we need it, is one of these articles on the cheat sheet or just straight up the amendment? Could someone, Senate Counselor, House Research, tell us if Senator Coonan's standalone motion works?
So it replaces
Madam Chair, it works as is.
Okay.
There's
Perfect. So we've got the motion. Discussion. All those in favor say, oh, I'm sorry.
Madam Chair, while we're doing this, I would make my pitch for a little more training for our assessors in order to get more uniformity in this, because we had a pretty disparate treatment of these ethanol containers across the state. So
that's another thing we need to get solved quick.
Yeah.
That language change.
Yep.
Okay. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. The motion, the Coonan motion is adopted. Senator Rest, you had another one? Or am I wrong?
Well, the multiple points of use.
Oh, yes. Multiple points of use.
B119. I think I've got the amendment right here. Is this the right amendment? Mm-hmm.
Who's that on here?
I thought we did that. I thought we did it. Ms. Dalton.
Madam Chair, you adopted the language without adopting the provision.
Okay.
So, if you want to.
Ms. Dalton or Ms. Pollack, do you want to tell us what motion we need to finish that off?
Which one are we doing?
Multiple points of use.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I think the motion would be to adopt House Article 8, Section 25, as amended by the A119 amendment.
Where is that on the side-by-side? Where is that on the side-by-side?
It is...
Oh, is it page 4?
I'm sorry. It's
54.
I gave you the wrong.
54. The bottom. 54.
Yep. Ms. Dalton.
This is...
I'm sorry.
Amendment 119.
It is... is you're adopting Article 8, Section 7 as amended by A119.
Madam Chair.
Ms. Pollack.
Just if I could confirm the amendment, the A119 is to the Senate language.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
So I believe the motion would be to adopt the Senate language on page 167.
It's new language.
That's adopted.
To adopt the language in the A119 amendment on multiple points of use.
Ms. Pollack is correct.
So, Ms. Pollack, what's our motion then? Do you want to, or one of you tell us it again? It's
It is to adopt Senate Article 7, Section 25, as amended by the H0677A119 amendment.
Does everybody have that? Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. The motion's adopted. Anything else on the list that people see? I see a lot we can't do.
Madam Chair?
Yeah, Representative Dad.
My apologies.
Representative Norton.
This is just a question about a procedural question. We just adopted, not this last motion, but the one before, the A131 amendment to the House language. Have we adopted that provision as well or just the amendment? I'm unclear as to what our action
was. That? On multiple points of use?
No, that was the biofuels.
We adopted the amendment, but have we adopted the House provision as well? I'm just unclear.
Let's do it again.
Okay.
We think they adopted the provision.
I would move Article 8, Section 25. Oh, I thought you said it was Article 8.
Senate Bill Article 2, Sections 46 and 47. And we already adopted Senator Coonan's language. Is that what you want?
Yes.
Well, is the
amendment was to the House language, so I think we want to adopt the House provision. That was my question, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Senator Coonan, you want to move Article 4 of the House, Sections 24 and 25?
As amended by the
131 Coonan amendment.
So moved, Madam.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries. Does anyone see any other? Is the pollution control personal property tax exemption a problem? I'm not sure.
It's a $30 million revenue raiser.
Oh, no, it's just $30 million. Okay, we can hold on that. okay.
It's a really good provision.
And Dabney?
Madam Chair, it seemed like people were comfortable with the motor vehicle paint.
Okay.
Question. That seems
sales tax item.
Yes.
Is everyone okay with that one?
Not ready.
Not ready. Okay. How about the tobacco collection report on the top of page 2? I don't know if Senator Dietzick has a preference on that. It's page 27 of the side by side. We have a few more of these if your staff wants them.
Sure, I'll take them over to them. You know, the tobacco thing. Maybe we should do the report when we figure out our little cigars
okay.
and all of that.
Okay, so hold on that. Used to own vehicle paint. Solicitor Nexus, are you ready on that one, Senator Rust?
No, I think we're waiting to do that all together since you're one of the package.
Yeah.
I'll just give away a piece.
So I just asked her.
Affiliate. You gave away this?
Affiliate, yeah.
Madam
Chair.
How about the provision covering the potential passage of Main Street Fairness Act? Ms. Dalton has the language right here. Why don't we do that? Okay.
At least
let's take a look.
Getting that so that we can review it. Maybe not adopting it tonight, but at least if we have it, we'll be
sure.
able to look at it.
Sure. Senator Rust, you've been working on this a long time. Do you think that the House and Congress is going to pass this?
Well,
you had a bet. Is this?
They may.
We hope. Okay.
You know, the House Republicans, I think, they stumble over what is a compliance issue versus new taxes, and the Senate. U.S. Senate didn't stumble so hard on that this time around. So
it's just giving us.
I think it all depends on how they can rationalize that it's a compliance issue and not a new tax. And then I think it's going to be important whether the House leadership can sell that kind of rationalization that it is a compliance issue, not a new tax, to their to the majority party's caucus, and they may be able to do it. Everything is related to everything else. They may be able to trade on that with regard to their overall tax reform, which they seem to be committed to working on. Congressman, who is it that chairs Ways and Means? Who is that? Chairs the Ways and Means Committee. And
Backus? No.
No, that's the Senate Finance. Is it Issa? Anyway, that.
Who are our congressional junkies in the room?
He is, whoever that has really made it's somebody else
the
but
name
anyway
the
it he's really made a lot of statements about wanting to do tax reform in this period, so maybe it will happen in the context of that.
So Senator Rust, do you want to think this over and do it tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, so if it works for you tomorrow, why don't we do that one tomorrow? How about Representative Dabney has a very technical amendment to the market value elimination that became the exclusion, a cleanup item?
Madam Chair, if I could, I'd like to move the A-133 amendment to be before the conference committee. As you just indicated, this is something, a very technical amendment found by the reviser on the language we've already adopted, cleaning up from the repeal of the market value homestead credit. Doesn't get much more technical than this.
I like the A.
Okay.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. The motion carries. Mm-hmm. Senator Skoy, another thing maybe for tomorrow, if you all can think through what you feel about the estate tax and gift tax provisions, that would be helpful to get that out of the way, because, you know, whatever we do, then we can just put that on the spreadsheet. I don't think that's really interacting with any other provisions, as far as I can tell. I'm sorry?
Well, the only thing, and I guess it isn't interacting with it so much, other than there are all of the estate gift tax stuff that the House is working on.
Right.
And this doesn't affect that at all, so adopting this is not an issue for you?
No. I mean, okay. We could do this provision right here. If someone, the estate tax clarified farms and small business exemptions, I don't know if Senator Scoy or Senator Coonan has, you know, probably the best insight onto the, do you want the House or the Senate bill, and does House or Senate staff want to tell us if there's a preference for some reason? Mr. Michael. And this is members, I'm sorry, page 47 and 48 of the side-by-side. So, Mr. Michael.
Madam Chair, I think what you want to do is the Senate sections, which are 1 through 4, Article 6, 1 through 4, with the exception that what the department recommends is that you do the House definition of homestead farmland. So it would be the Senate, all of the Senate provisions, except that we would do the House definition of homestead farmland, which brings in the relative and special homesteads, clarifies specifically that the relative and special homesteads are included in farmland that qualifies for the exemption.
Senator Coonan, does that work for you, or?
Madam Chair,
is
that works.
Okay, so does everyone understand that, Senator Coonan?
It's your deal.
So what's the motion?
Senator Coonan's motion is?
The motion is Senate Article 6, Section 1, 2, 3, and 4, except that we use the House definition of farm homestead.
Yep. Okay, excellent. Does everyone understand that? Discussion.
Okay. I just have a question.
Senator Rest.
When we were discussing this the first time around, I have highlighted the second bullet point for article the House.
On page 48?
Yeah. 7, the third bullet point, at the second bullet point at the top of page 148, and I have to tell you, I don't know why I have that circled and highlighted and everything. Was there an, is that something that we would do or
so,
would not do?
So Ms. Pollack or Mr. Michael, Senator Arrest at the top of page 48 on the Senate column.
No, it's on the House column.
On the House column. Does anyone have an insight? Who's responsible for Senator Rest highlighting this section?
Those provisions are the same in both bills, Madam Chair, so I don't, yeah, that's not a difference.
Okay.
Between
the
All right, two, just so. Curious.
Ms. Pollack, okay with that?
Madam Chair, yes, I agree.
Okay. Okay.
One, two, three, and four.
And House definition of homestead farmland. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. The Coonan motion's adopted. Anything else? We have 10 more minutes. We can think of, you know, one thing I'll just bring up while people are thinking about it. Are the Senate conferees interested in the municipal street improvement issue that
that face? Jeez.
You know, can we? Well, the House proposal is significantly reined in from what the League of Minnesota Cities and the bill introduction was. So I don't know if you're aware of that. I don't know if you heard it in the Senate.
We did.
But we reined it way in. So
can I tell you about our
Senator
hearing?
Senator Carlson thought that it needed even more reining in. He was the Senate author.
Okay. And Senator Scott?
More reining in from the House provision.
We complimented Senator Carlson in his bringing everybody together.
In opposition?
In opposition.
One of those, huh? We had a lot of people opposed to it, too. But I will tell you, you know, I think I hear that this is the last gasp, okay? You know, I will just say that I have a community that, because we're not a statutory city, we're a charter city, we mostly do this right now. And the fear people have about this is unfounded. It is an excellent way for cities to not hide spending. It's, in fact, very transparent because it shows up like your water bill. And it allows a community, when you first build your community, you know, people pay for special assessments, you buy your house and the roads put in and you pay for it in the price of your house. But as the roads have to continually be redone, it allows the whole community to pay something every year instead of sort of the crapshoot that goes around, like, this year it's your house, yeah, and you have to pay $80,000, and next year it's your house. So it's allowing in Bloomington, what we do is we have CI pay twice the rate of the homes, and we have an ongoing payment management program. So the roads get done faster, they're better quality, and it's very transparent. So I wanted to just make the pitch on it because so many people think this is, I don't know, for some reason this brings black helicopters in, and I just honestly don't understand it. As somebody who's been a city council member, it is a much fairer way for all the residents and all the businesses to pay for this, and they're going to have to pay for it either way. Yep. So, you know, I hear you loud and clear, Senator Skoy, but I just wanted to tell you that I think a lot of the concerns about this provision is unfounded. But, Senator Skoy.
Well, Madam Chair, I understand that there are ways that this could be beneficial to a community. I get all of that. The problem that I have with it is when they start exempting all of the properties that are exempt from the property tax, it's like, what's the point of it all? And so, you know, you and I had a conversation about this, and I listened closely to what you said, and I get that. In the House language, are you following the same kind of ratios, and the overall property tax has 50% of it, and the CI has 25% of what's left, mm-hmm, or whatever? Mm-hmm. Is the bill doing that type of mechanism?
We are exempting the nonprofits.
You are exempting the nonprofits.
But we are doing that. The bill is originally introduced. You could have segments of a city have different sort of ways they were going to, you know, bill for this, and we said it had to be uniform, and you couldn't have the highest paying and lowest paying be more than double. So for example, if you take a community like mine, you know, the business community pays double, and the residents pay, you know, then half that. But the business community, you know, the trips, they're probably getting a pretty darn good deal because the buildings are, you know, lots and lots of cars pouring in and out of those facilities. So it hasn't been an anti-business thing. We heard a lot of, in the House hearing, a lot of the business community opposed this provision, and I think they really don't understand it. It's a pretty good deal. Senator Skoy.
And, Madam Chair, to that point, you know, as with the number of the provisions that I'm authoring, I'm taking a little more than 1 year to get those accomplished. I fully expect that eventually I will make some headway with that. But maybe this is another one of those things that it just takes a little more time for everybody to get their head wrapped around what's going on. And, you know, it might be worthwhile for the authors of the bill to work with, you know, some of the city folks and some of the chamber folks in the business community and get everybody to understand what's the options, and, you know, we'll be back here again next year.
Okay, so do we need a motion for the Senate to vote down, or should we just have an understanding? I will pass this on to Representative Earhart, who cares very deeply about the quality of roads in this state, and it looks like that one's probably fallen by the side for the year. So thank you, Senator Skoy. But I do hope we can talk about the MAC provision. Just like in the public finance bill, I think it was Senator Ortman had a concern about a provision, but then we went on, as we thought about it more here, we did adopt it. And Senator and Representative Dabney had a concern about the MAC provision, and I think we want to talk about that a little bit. I don't know that we can convince Representative Dabney, but if we can talk about this maybe just a little bit, just where's the Senate on this? Because, you know, Senator Rest, I think you're the one who's the person to talk to about this. I will tell you, as one of the abutting communities to MSP, I represent the people who live under the runways. The runways are literally the safety zones are in my district. And, you know, the Metropolitan Airports Commission has a difficult relationship with some of the surrounding communities, and I think Representative Dabney is coming from that same point. And I hope that the rest of you can hear us in that. You know, we have concerns about the MAC, and it's an unelected body, and it does a lot of debt, and it spends a lot of money. So, I mean, if you could, you know, if we could hear a little bit from Senator Rest and from others, you know, I'm not in the over my dead body camp. I think some Dabney might be, but maybe three House conferees can find their way to this provision, but we just want to hear a little bit more center rest.
Are people here from the MAC?
Or we could also, and I'm fine with that. We haven't been doing a lot of testimony. I don't know what you want to do, Senator Skoy. He's saying no, but I think maybe Mr. Michael and Ms. Pollack maybe could tell us a little bit about this public finance provision. So this is allowing the MAC to do a little more, have a little more flexibility in their debt instruments. Mr. Michael, can you tell us about this provision? And it's on page 86 of the side-by-side.
Mr. Silva? Mr. Silva, maybe you could join him.
Please, yes. That'd be great.
Madam Chair.
And I guess we're not going to do public testimony there. We've been pretty. 86. Page 86. Did I say 96? 86. I'm sorry, at the side by side.
11, Section 6.
Article 11, Section 6 of the Senate.
And we didn't do it. So, Mr. Michael and Mr. Sylvia, what can you tell us about this provision?
Madam Chair, this is not a provision in the House bill, but we did hear it, and I wasn't in committee when we heard it. But essentially what, if you look at, and it's probably most helpful to actually look at the bill language, which may confuse you, but if it may not. But
what page is that?
It's on page 256 and 257 of the Senate bill, Article 6, Article 11, Section 6. And what you'll see there is a lot of language that's being stricken. Essentially, the reason why that's being done is if you look at each one of those provisions, so just, for example, look at that paragraph A, which starts on lines 9 through 11, and you'll see at the end of lines 10 and the beginning of 11, and this pattern repeats itself for each of these paragraphs that's being eliminated from the statute. For each of these types of investments, the Airports Commission is limited to only buying bonds, in this case, Treasury bonds, CDs, and other bonds and notes of the United States that have a maturity that's no longer than 3 years. And so the purpose of this is really to take off that maturity limit so that they can invest in longer-term instruments of the same type. And part of the reason for this now, for those of you who are sort of familiar with the credit markets, interest rates are extraordinarily low, particularly at the short end of the maturity curve. And so under this provision, they're stuck with investing only in under A in Treasury bonds and CDs and so forth that have no longer maturity than 3 years. And what the Commission would like to do is to have the flexibility, as I understand it, to buy 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, or something like that. And so that's really the thrust of what's going on here with all of this language that's being stricken. So if you look again, like on lines 15 and 16, it's a sort of a similar. It's getting rid of the maturity limits. Really, are the big element of this.
Mr. Sylvia,
Madam Chair, I really would not have anything to add. I would just note that what's remaining is on page 257, line 4, a reference to the 118A.04, and what this is just being less restrictive, so that it would coincide with more of the language which is currently in statute for investments for most local governments.
Representative Dabney, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Sylvia, can you review for us what investment authority is allowed local governments in 118A.04 for us?
Madam Chair, Representative Dabney, there are a couple different references here. For purposes of state and local securities, there's a list that funds may be invested for securities, which is a general obligation of the state for local government with taxing powers rated A or better.
Mr. Sylvia, can you pull your mic in a little bit? Thank you.
Madam Chair and Representative Dabney, there's a couple different references here in the statute for state and local securities. Those having taxing powers rated A or better by National Bond Rating Service, rated AA, Minnesota Housing Financing Agency, rated A or better, commercial papers, those rated by the highest quality or at least two nationally recognized rating agencies matures in 270 days or less. They may be invested in general obligation, temporary bonds of the same government entity issued, and then some debt service bonds. So it's a little more open, I would say.
Madam Chairman, Sylvia, and then isn't there something there about mortgage-backed securities as well, if I remember correctly?
Madam Chair and Representative Dowdy, that's correct. There are Subdivision 6 of 118A does reference high-risk mortgage-backed securities, and they contain interest-only or principal-only mortgage-backed securities or any mortgage derivative security that has an expected average life greater than 10 years or has an average life expectancy that, and there's some criteria, extend more than 4 years or shorten by 6 years if they have a certain basic point.
Okay. I think at this point there are not three votes on the House side, but that'll certainly give the opportunity for the MAC to convince the House conferees that this is a good idea. So if we can just hold on this. Anything else? Because we're getting ready to adjourn here. Do we know when the Senator's Scoy, when there's the Senate coming in, and do we know when the House is coming in, or what's your plan for tomorrow?
Well, I've been contemplating that. I think we go in at 11. And we have a prior meeting that'll go till 8:30 or 9. But the question I have, and do we have work that we would be working on between 9 and 11? And that would be to the conferees, I guess. We've worked through this list, and let me just turn around for a minute.
So this is most of our stuff, unless people want to work on individual projects.
Maybe we shouldn't start till night. If you want to start at night.
Maybe we'll just wait and see if we how our session goes. I know the Senate session is going to be relatively long tomorrow.
Well, very long agenda.
Very long.
Okay.
The union child care bill.
But on the other hand, it's no sense getting together unless we have an agenda to work off of. So I'm looking around. What do you think, Senator Rest?
Well, Mr. Chair, I think conferees should be really trying to talk amongst each other.
Go through your
tomorrow.
List, find your issues. Tomorrow's the day.
Because we really need to start negotiating. And maybe we can, and if some of the things we mentioned on some of this distributional stuff, maybe if the staff can get together and kind of see if, and then the spreadsheet, maybe a little, maybe it would give time to the staff to do some things together.
Would there be somebody that Senator Dietzick could work with on the cigar issue? Because
she
I
could
think,
work with me.
Oh, well, that would
I'm
be
the
something.
Chief author on my side.
Okay, well, let's do that.
Be
that
good.
Would be helpful.
Okay.
So we'll just call up the chair tomorrow.
Mr. Chair, I read an article in the newspaper that Senator Bach was implying he knew what the tobacco deal was going to be in. I don't think that was part of the deal, right?
I'm curious.
So I think Senator Dietzick and I are going to work that out. So, there was some, sometimes we know it's people are inkling and it's not always accurate, but I just want to get it on the record here that there is no pre-agreement on the level of tobacco taxes and what the composition of that piece would look like. So,
well, and I think that the leadership from the conversations I had intended to leave us some flexibility if they could. So hopefully that's the case.
Anything else for anyone else? Mr. Chair, anything else? Anybody? Okay, if with not, we are adjourned.